You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction.
It's the Rediscover the Road sales event. Finance a 2020 Rogue for 0% APR for 84 months or get a cash purchase bonus on other select models. Scarborough Nissan, Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
All right, Bobby Marks of ESPN coming up in about 5 minutes. Game 3 Western Final tonight. LeBron, the Lakers looking to basically end this series. They go up 3-0 on Denver. It's over, as we know. And some news in the NBA. Woj reporting that Billy Donovan has agreed to a deal to become the next coach in Chicago. He had a great year in Oklahoma City. And he's a very well-revered coach, and I'm sure Chicago was going to pay him a lot of money. But they haven't done anything in years. I mean, the Bulls have been completely irrelevant for a long, long time. But Chicago's got a new coach, so we'll see what Bobby Marks has to say about that.
Oh, Billy wasn't on the market that long, was he?
No, I mean, you had to think when he couldn't work out a deal with Oklahoma City that, you know, something was up. Like, someone was willing to pay him a lot more money, probably, because it sure sounded as if it was one of those mutual agreements. It wasn't like the team turned on him, you know. It was more like, are they willing to pay? Are they kind of reloading? Are they retooling? Are they tanking? And they don't need to pay a guy like this that much money. He wasn't on the market long. It's not a surprise. I mean, he's a pretty good coach.
Yeah.
So he goes to Chicago, and the Bulls are looking to finally trigger something. I mean, they've been out of sight, out of mind for a number of years now.
Yeah, they got to get it going. Like, that's
a
storied franchise.
Yep.
Like, well, isn't there rumors of AD? Like, isn't he a Chicago guy and that he might jump ship and head there? And who knows?
No, Chicago does the same thing we do in Toronto. Like, with hockey players here, they do it with basketball players. You know, forever Dwayne Wade was coming home, and, you know, Anthony Davis was coming home. And there's a lot of great players out of Chicago that are scattered around the league, and they never came home. I think Kevin Garnett was from Chicago, and it was always KG will be coming here. Nope, not happening.
Well, D. Wade ultimately did, but it was a sideshow, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was done. The team was done. It was ugly. Ugly. And he got out of there, right?
Yeah.
I think they maybe cut him or bought him out or something and signed
in Cleveland.
Yeah, he
left on poor terms. Like, he left on poor terms where – you're right. Like, you're coming home, even at the end of your career, it should kind of be, you know, a nice little setting. But I think he was, like, playing awful, and they didn't like him.
That one never made sense from the word go.
There was a lot of bad story. Like, he was being a hero a bit in the room. Like, who are you guys? You know, a bunch of.
I think he chirped some of the lesser lights, and then they chirped him back, and there was a big
him and Rondo,
there.
I think. It was him and Rondo that were fighting constantly. That did not go well for Wade. But Bobby Marks coming up in a moment. So, you know, since my little rant, it actually shut both of you up for the first time in show
history.
Hang
on a sec. I was worried about the show. Mulls has it. Because it didn't start off on the right foot. And I looked at the screen and I thought things froze because you were just staring in and this is how it sounded.
They're coming out of the gate slow and hoping to heat up. It's hard to do that when you're in your 40s.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought about Ray coming through the screen. I thought that was early on, and that was our first chat. And I thought it was game over.
The head shake was coming. The head shake was coming. But I was listening.
I was
disappointed
waiting for you to
be done.
I was excited to work today. I'm into it, and you just looked at the screen. I'm like, do you got anything else to say?
Well,
or I thought you froze.
He was teeing us up.
One of those clips. Like, I think the beauty of our show, as I pat ourselves on the back here, is we all have energy. We all want to talk. We've all got something to say. You know, it comes and goes, but I think that's what makes our show work, is that we're all on the edge of our seat to get in. And for whatever reason, you guys gave me about 45 seconds clean.
Yeah.
And I went off, and I was talking about how I think Breeze is officially just a middle of the pack quarterback now. That doesn't mean he's awful. Doesn't mean he's done. But I think he's a middle of the pack guy. He's not going to be elite anymore. And I don't think Brady's going to be elite anymore. And, you know, I was going on and making points. And I'm like, wow, this is great. I'm really rolling here. And the boys must be loving it. And then I finished my thought. And it's just
feathers.
Two garden gnomes. Like, I'm staring at two garden gnomes.
Let's hear it
again, Mulls.
They're coming out of the gate slow and hoping to heat up. It's hard to do that when you're in your 40s.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Mulls, you should go a little farther because you go. He took a shot at us.
Of course,
nothing from both of you. Like you actually said something like nothing from both of you, and I was like,
okay,
I was waiting.
Good stuff from you too.
Yeah, there is good stuff from you too. But I was waiting. I was just kind of okay. I'm waiting because I kept waiting to hear from Baker Mayfield. I thought you were going to get in there. That's why I brought it up.
I should have maybe. When in doubt, bring up Baker. That'll get the boys
fired up. I was just
up.
Looking at his face through our monitor. I'm like, is this guy stoned or something? He's just staring at the thing. And I'm like, and then I'm like, oh, boy, this is live TV and radio right now. This is a real show.
It was a Bruce Boudreau. It was a premature stop, I guess, on my end. And that's what Bruce did. Like, it was, we thought he was going to continue with his thought. We all froze. And it was dead air, and it was ugly. And
you got to add the crickets to that little clip there for us, please, because it was Noodles.
They're coming
you like
the gate
lost.
Slow and hoping to heat up. It's hard to do that when you're in your 40s.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Noodles kind of lost his voice, and he was like,
That's when you know Noodles is like, I got to say something here. I'm a hostage, and if I don't say something, I'm never getting out of here.
I just was trying to, like, I was waiting, and I hesitated because I was like, is he done? I was going to bring up right away, what about your guy Baker Mayfield? Yep. Where does he fit into this? You know, and it was too late, and then I could see we were like 8 minutes into the show.
Yeah, we were just
I'm like,
cooking.
We are going to be a disaster today if O and I can't pull it together. So, you know what?
I was getting concerned, but I think we've got it back on the rails. It's been good. And anyone,
I was not concerned about my – I know when I'm mailing one in and I just don't have it, but I was like, I'm into this, and then you're on your little rant there, and then I was like, this guy, is he high? And then you stared at the screen, and then I'm like, this is a mess. It's a mess.
Yeah, we're in trouble.
But – yeah. To your credit, you moved on.
I'm trying to improve. I'm trying to improve. We all grow as we get older.
You had a positive attitude, and you didn't shake your head like a sore loser, and you moved on.
Yep. If that happened 4 or 5 years ago, my headset would have been through the window over there.
You think so?
Oh,
well,
for sure.
I would have probably just been like, okay, you guys go ahead. You guys go ahead. I'm not talking anymore. If you guys don't want to bring anything, then you guys figure it out. But I have improved, I have grown, I have matured.
I agree.
I think the show's in a better spot because of that. Yeah. But anyway, Breeze, we'll get into him a little bit later in the hour. I still think he's a good quarterback, but I don't think he's a great one anymore to finish
Thanks,
the point.
Tips. Yeah, we got it.
Yeah, mediocre, middle of the ground. That's what we're going to end it on. Here is a longtime NBA executive, ESPN NBA insider, Bobby Marks. How you doing, Bobby?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Yeah, we're doing pretty well. I guess Billy Donovan's got a new gig. You know, like, does that make sense now, what happened with Oklahoma City, where they both kind of mutually agreed to part ways, that maybe Donovan had something cooking behind the scenes and had his eyes on Chicago? Or what do you make of this move?
I think in Oklahoma City, I think he was probably more looking for what direction this roster was going to go. You know, certainly with all these draft picks they have, and you know, were they going to go in a different direction and maybe move a player like Chris Paul and really go tear it down and rebuilding? And I don't think he got any assurances there. Yeah, Chicago is interesting just because I know they've, you know, been in a lottery the last couple of years here, but it's a mixed bag with their roster, with you know, certainly some of their younger players, like, you know, Kobe White and Wendell Carter, and they've got Zach LaVine, who's, you know, borderline all-star, and you've got some veterans there. And it's, I think there's not the pressure to kind of win now like Billy had with when he had Westbrook and Paul George, and certainly Kevin Durant before that. So certainly a good coach. And so that is one opening that is now filled.
Bobby, Adam Silver came out and he said they don't think they're going to get started until 2021. And he also hopes that they want to get a full season in. Do you have any idea how that could look? I know the players are probably done with bubbles, and I'm almost a little bit selfish. I do not like working during summer. So do you have any idea what this looks like for sports going forward?
No, you sound like my wife, you know? I mean, we didn't get to go on vacation this year, and she went back to work in August.
I know.
So,
well,
do
you want to do it for another 2 years going forward? Because I don't.
I think the goal the goal for the commissioner is that they're going to want to get some type of fans in stands. I mean, the revenue that's been they've been losing has been high, if there's no fans in the stands next year, I mean, you're looking at $3 billion loss. So if you're looking at maybe 25% occupancy or 50%, and or maybe I think they've got an eye on what some of these NFL teams or maybe even some of these college football teams have been doing, at least to get some fans back in. If it's in January and maybe even February, I think you could probably circle maybe MLK Day in January as maybe a launching pad. I don't think Christmas is realistic in December, and then that leans to like what happens to the Olympics now, right? Like that the Olympics for most NBA guys, most of these guys will probably still be will be playing there. So you were looking probably like in a scenario where we're right now, where we've got games in July and August, and we've got the playoffs in September, October, and maybe that's going to be the new basketball calendar that we'll have instead of the, we usually go July 1 to June 30.
Yeah, I could see that being the case. I mean, there have been rumors about that in the past, and I think Adam Silver's been even willing to talk about it publicly, that maybe they do want to adjust the NBA schedule, and this might just be the perfect time to do it, take a run at it and get used to it. And I don't know if they want to be playing playoffs in September and October. I wouldn't, with the NFL and college football coming back, but I could see playoffs in July and August. That could make sense.
I think you're right. I don't think they want to be, I don't think you want to be in a position where you're competing against the NFL. I mean, you look at what's happened with, the Eastern Conference Finals, where we're kind of at a pause, right? Because there's the reluctancy to put the game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals against New Orleans, Oakland last night. And now that we've got a gap until Wednesday where these teams play again. So if you can try to get this done, a season done when you're playing into late August or maybe even early the beginning part of September, I think that's going to be, I think that's probably the goal from the league.
With Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA Insider. We have been fascinated with the LA Clippers for quite some time, and it really started when Kawhi decided to go there, and then they manufactured the trade for Paul George, and Steve Ballmer's just a quote machine. We play his clips all the time. And they imploded. And a lot of the reports that came out almost immediately, sounds like you got real issues with the Clippers, where a lot of guys were not into it. A lot of guys were not in shape. The team potentially turning on Paul George. And there's been reports from multiple media members suggesting that, George is a problem, or at least the other players, the depth players, don't see him as someone who should be getting special treatment. And I always come back to Kawhi, where I don't see it being in Kawhi's nature to walk into Doc Rivers' office or Steve Ballmer's or, Lawrence Frank's or whoever it is and saying, all right, I want to be a part of this. Let's figure out what we're supposed to do. But don't you think he's got to have somewhat of a voice, in what is supposed to happen with that lineup and with that team going into next season?
Well, he should, because as you guys know, both those guys could be free agents in 2021. And I think if you're, Doc Rivers or Lawrence Frank or ownership, that you're probably in a cooling off period right now, is that there's going to be a point where you're going to sit down with Kawhi and figure out as far as what this roster, and you're going to want his input, because let's face it. I mean, the Paul George trade was because that's who Kawhi wanted to play with, right? And Paul George flamed out in the playoffs. He was not very good. And I think my issue with Paul is that after the playoffs, after the game 7 was over, is that, he made it sound like, we've got this window is so wide open. I mean, this window is not wide open for this group here, especially how much they risked everything. 3 draft picks, pick swaps. I mean, you name it here, and where these two guys could be free agents, they've got some big decisions with Marcus Morris and Montrezl Harrell, Jermichael Green, Lou Williams is going to be on an expiring contract. So I think the window is right now. I mean, you are in win now mode here. So yeah, I think if you're Clipper management ownership, and you're right, that's not his nature as far as to give input as far as what works with this roster, but you'd rather find out from him now than next year when you're going through what the Raptors went through a year ago, and Toronto had the best situation for him, possible. And he could have been, that quiet franchise player. And that's not the case, where what he has done, what he did in Toronto and what he did in San Antonio is now, kind of overshadowed with, a game 7 and a collapse in the second round.
Yeah, it's a good point about how Kawhi has taken this upon himself, you know, in many ways. Like, you're in L.A., you're trying to lift up a team that has had no winning history. You've got the richest owner in the league who might be the loudest, or right there with Mark Cuban. And you had a perfect situation in Toronto where the rest of the NBA isn't going to pay much attention to you. The rest of the roster knows their role, and they work their ass off, and they make sure that you're in a good position to succeed. Very similar in San Antonio, where now, you know, you take your talents back to L.A., and you're the man, and you demand they go out there and get Paul George. You better act like LeBron, you know, and he didn't show up in Game 7, and I think Kawhi's just going to go dark. I wouldn't be shocked if Steve Ballmer or whoever's calling him off the hook. Well, he doesn't have to do anything. Like, he's paid, he's proven that in the past. Like, the Raptors were dying to get some sort of an answer from him. They were never going to get that. I could see Kawhi saying, I'll see you in training camp. Don't call me, and I'll let you know, when I show up, how we're going to deal with this.
You know it.
And if that happens, the Clippers have got to be nervous. Don't they, Bobby?
Well, sure. I mean, especially where, I mean, I think the worst-case scenario is that all of a sudden that, you know, the pocketbook, you know, all of a sudden becomes closed and that these free agents go elsewhere, and then now he's looking at, wait a minute, I didn't sign up for this, right? Or, you know, I mean, let's face it, if Doc Rivers' name wasn't Doc Rivers, you know, he'd be under the, you know, the firing squad right now. I mean, come on. Like, we live in the world of the NBA where Brett Brown gets let go after the first round, and Nate McMillan, and some of these other coaches, where, you know, what you do in the playoffs is basically is how you are judged. And this is what, third up 3-1 that Doc has happened in his career. And they were thoroughly outcoached. I mean, Doc coached these guys like it was pre-COVID, and how he might manage some of their minutes, and not kind of, you know, post as far as how bad of shape in these guys were. So, yeah, I think you're right as far as Kawhi, you know, going dark until we get going in training camp, whenever that's going to be, potentially could be January.
Bobby, we were talking about LeBron earlier in the show. Do you think he's going to go, you know, crazy here? He probably sees the light at the end of the tunnel here, and we were talking about the path to the championship. I think if you gave him this scenario, he'd be licking his chops in preseason. So we're kind of thinking LeBron's ready to tee off on everybody.
Yeah, I mean, you saw it's going to be interesting tonight, guys, because he did not play well in the second half in game two. And it feels like there was a little bit of frustration that maybe that play was not drawn up for him, that 83 here. And how does LeBron react, you know, coming out and trying to put this Denver team away? So I think it's going to be interesting as far as he's going to be, you know, have some keep some gas in the tank when we get into the third, fourth quarter. Or, you know, if he struggles like he did towards that end of that game here. But, hey, I mean, when you've got a sidekick like AD and you've got the role player stepping up like that, I mean, this is as good as he could have wanted. And they're not facing the Clippers. They're facing a Denver team that's been, you know, a great story, but has been kind of, you know, playing behind the eight ball, you know, these playoffs.
Yeah. Where do you stand on the LeBron James MVP fatigue? He hasn't won it in 7 years. A couple guys have won it back-to-back. Where are you with, you know, that discussion about LeBron not winning the MVP for 7 years?
I think we probably take him for granted to a point. But, I mean, I don't have a vote. And if I did have a vote, I would have probably voted for Giannis this year. And let's face it, I mean, we're probably not talking about if Milwaukee is still in the playoffs right now. But they lost, and Giannis is home, and, you know, how LeBron played during the season here. But I dealt with it in 2002 when I was in New Jersey, and Jason Kidd had a heck of a season. I mean, he took our team, which was in the dumps, to an NBA Finals, and he was the most valuable player of the league. Was he the best player? No, probably Tim Duncan was, and Tim wound up winning the award here. So I don't know if there, like most awards, there's really not a criteria that defines it, and I think that's probably where LeBron is probably a little bit snake bit.
Yeah, it's very arbitrary. It is in the eyes of the voters, and he'll have his redemption if he goes on a run here and wins the title. I don't think he'll be too concerned about that MVP. Great stuff as always, Bobby. Thank you for doing this.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA Insider.
What did you make of LeBron's comments? Like, I love the honesty. That's what we always want in this business.
Right.
We want the players to say their true feelings, but you know, Giannis probably respects the hell out of that guy, and then he just sits in front of his presser, and he's like, I'm pissed off, man. I'm pissed off. I just think Giannis, although he doesn't care what Giannis thinks, but he just must have been like, really, man, can you not just give me my due? But Like I said, we like the honesty and we like the answer that he gives because it's a sound bite and we use it.
I don't even know if it
is. Well, we don't use it because we don't do that on this show.
No, we only play our own audio when we butcher our own show.
Yeah.
That's how we roll. But I don't even know if it is fully honest or if it's LeBron taking a page out of Michael Jordan's book and it's one of those I've been slighted motivational maneuvers, you know, like, how dare you? Now I'm going to get jacked up for this game tonight to prove to you that you guys don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, every time MJ was on that documentary, it was like, you know, that guy won the that pissed me off, man. Yeah. I wanted to win.
Wasn't it Drexler? Like, wasn't it Clyde Drexler? And he was
anything
so
that won any like, anyone that won anything, he was like, that pissed me off.
He fabricated stories. Like, there were stories out there.
Yeah,
some guy went off on him the night before, and he wouldn't shake his hand. He said, I'm going to get – and it's like, that never happened. Like, it was just diabolical. Like, these guys are – and I think LeBron probably watched The Last Dance like everyone else and said, you know, that might not be the worst motivational tool. And I'll give them what they want. They want me to come out here and say this, that, and the other, so I'll do it. But there's also the video that's going around. I believe it was from earlier this year when Giannis at Staples Center, I think he either blocked LeBron or something, and he went and he put the crown on his head, and you could see it. And that was like, oh, really? Like, you think you're the king now? Yeah. You know, and LeBron, and I think Bobby Marks makes a very good point. If Giannis is still playing, LeBron might have a different tone. Because he might have to bite his tongue a little bit because he might still be facing him in the future. But he's out there puffing his chest saying, I'm still in the bubble. You're in Milwaukee. Yeah. You know, see you later, dude. Great, you got your MVP? Be watching here for the next month because I'm going to add a finals MVP to my you know, bookshelf or whatever.
Yeah.
So
my favorite MJ one was, who was the coach of the Sonics?
George Karl.
He's like, I walked into the restaurant. George Karl didn't say hi to me, man. That's when I knew I wanted to beat the hell out of those guys. I was like, really? Because George Karl didn't say hi to you?
Well,
that's
Karl,
what fueled his fire.
Karl responded and said, like, I know how big of a lunatic this guy is that I knew I was screwed. Because if I don't talk to him, he's going to say, oh, really? You think you're better than me? I'm going to go get you. If you do go talk to him, he's going to be like, who are you to come talk to me? We're competing tonight. You really? You think I'm your friend? Like, it just – you couldn't win with Jordan.
Yeah.
Like, and it was just ridiculous.
But remember he was saying, though, he did make things up. He made stories up to motivate himself. So you're right. Like, Karl, like, he was screwed either way. There's no way. Like, if he goes over and shakes his hand, like – I guarantee you MJ would have made something up. What player was it? Was it against Phoenix, I think, where he was like, yeah, that guy chirped me after the game and said, you don't have it anymore, old man, or something like that. And he just destroyed that player.
Yeah.
I can't remember who it was.
It's outstanding, awesome. Though. Like, it's absolutely crazy, that type of psychology, but obviously it was pretty effective. I mean, I'm not going to take anything away from the guy. Scott Mitchell coming up. Jays Yankees tonight. An update on Dolis as well. It doesn't sound as if he's available. Still day-to-day with a knee problem. Although he was warming up last night in the ninth. So I'm not sure what's going on there. But we'll get an update for you on that. On Alejandro Kirk, a.k.a. Al Kirk, a.k.a. Al's brother, Kirk. And, you know, look ahead to the playoffs, which begin a week today. Scott Mitchell will join us next. All right, Scotty Mitchell coming up in just a moment. Jays reporter, Jays Yankees tonight. The Jays laid a beating on the Yankees last night, and they needed that for their confidence. That's two wins in a row. You know, sports and baseball, it doesn't always make sense. They got roasted down at Yankee Stadium last week, and Buffalo is where they're comfortable. They played well last night.
Big test tonight.
Yeah, that matchup is, would you call that a mismatch?
I would say, Gerrit Cole on the mound for the Yankees. That's a bit of a problem for anyone he's going to face. And Tanner Roark has been a mess. I mean, I don't know if Roark's in the rotation come playoff time. Like, you know, Ryu is pitching game one. Beyond that, I don't know what the rest of the rotation is going to look like. Shoemaker looked pretty good. You know, he's had health concerns. And
how many innings did Shoemaker pitch? Three?
Yeah. No one goes deep on this team. Like, even Ryu pitched well over the weekend. He goes six and check, please. I'm out of here.
He's on I-90 walking to the hotel.
Just out of there. It's the best routine in baseball. Lock him in for six, and then he I-90. Has to
he's
leave.
Gone. Yeah, he's gone.
Here's Scott Mitchell. Is there any chance he'll ever go seven? Like, is Rio allergic to the seventh inning, or what's the story with that?
Well, Rio isn't allergic to it, but the computers in the front office are clearly allergic to these guys going third time through the order, and you know that's what it is. I mean, you know, we've talked about this for probably the better part of 5 years now, and John Gibbons hated it. He used to, anytime you'd bring this up in his office before the game, he would roll his eyes at you and look at you, and you know, you'd kind of laugh because you could see them, you know, the front office not being on the same page with their manager. And you know, right now this is the way it goes, and this is the new Tampa Bay Rays style of doing things. And you know, they're going to be a team that really, you know, kind of looks at the numbers and really goes by that book rather than you know, anything else that we've seen in the past. And it will be interesting because when you look at the way they're going to line this up, I mean, obviously Ryu is going to be in that game one on Tuesday. And look, I don't know what the hook's going to be like there. If he's rolling sixth, seventh inning, I mean, I think you got to continue to go with that guy. You paid him to be your ace, and you know, this is exactly why you bought him for $20 million a year. So, but you know, this is an analytically driven front office and coaching staff, and you know, they're going to go by the numbers and the matchups more often than not.
So, you know, we're talking about it just prior to having you on, Scotty. Who would go game two? Who goes game three? I mean, I'm having a tough time figuring that out because it's such a drastic drop-off after Ryu.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, we got a little bit of clarity on that today. I wrote a column. I mean, you're going to see Taiwan Walker's lined up for Friday now. And when you look at the rotation, Thursday's Ryu, so that lines him up for Tuesday. We've got Taiwan Walker lined up Friday, so that lines him up for game two on Wednesday. And then Matt Shoemaker is going to go likely Saturday, so that would line him up for game three. And then that doesn't exactly mean that that's how they're going to do it, but that's a pretty good indication and a pretty good tip-off of how they're lining it up. And then you got Robbie Ray, he's going to go tomorrow, and Tanner Roark, he's going to go today. So you look at those guys as potentially bulk guys behind those other starters. Tanner Roark's not going to get a playoff start, let's be real here. He's been just about awful in every outing that he's had this year with a 6.41 ERA. Chase Anderson officially got bumped to the bullpen today, so we're not going to see him in a starting role. So essentially you look at Ryu, you look at Taiwan Walker, you look at Matt Shoemaker, and then you look at Robbie Ray tomorrow. And how Ray pitches tomorrow might kind of give the Blue Jays a little bit of pause as to how they shuffle this up. And then you've got Nate Pearson kind of looming as well, and he's not going to be a traditional starter, but he's going to be in that mix potentially if he can get to 40 pitches for two innings to be kind of an opener type role for one of those games, either game two or game three. So they've got some options, and they're kind of shuffling it up this week to see who pitches the best and see what how they can kind of, you know, creatively piece together games two and games three, because obviously game one is going to be hopefully Ryu getting six or seven and then handing it over to whoever their high leverage relievers are that night.
Scotty, you just mentioned our man Roark. I'm leaving this chair that I'm sitting in and going to tune in the game. It's just a known fact that this guy is going to get dummied on the mound. Like, is there any chance that this guy could flip the switch and give something more than what he's been giving?
Look, I don't know. The numbers aren't flattering, and you know, there's no real kind of one thing that's been bad with him. It's been kind of the whole smorgasbord, and you know, he just hasn't been very good at you know, front to back this season. Hasn't you know, kind of stacked up the way we expected back in July. But you know, this is the guy that they gave you know, $24 million to just to eat innings, and
that's scary, man.
You know, he hasn't really been eating much this year, so it's interesting.
He's been eating something.
Yeah, he's been eating home runs, man. Hits. That's what he's been eating.
Doo-doo is what he's been eating.
Yeah,
exactly.
Been eating a hook from Charlie Montoyo.
Yeah,
no, yeah, it's ugly. And you know, he's been the guy that wants to pitch deeper into games, and then you just can't the way he's pitching. So, I mean, look, at this point, this is kind of how it goes. You know, you ride the hot hand this type of year, no matter if it's a 60-game season or 162, and, you know, you put your guys in the best position as possible. And, you know, you see veterans kind of go by the wayside sometimes in the postseason. And, you know, that's probably what Roark is going to do because he's not going to start. So right now, you're just kind of hoping right now he can turn it around heading into next year and, you know, be that fourth or fifth starter for $12 million in the final year of his deal, because, you know, this has, you know, essentially been a lost year for the veteran. I mean, 33 years old, a 6.41 ERA. If he didn't have that second year on his deal, you know, we might have been talking about a release situation a month ago. That's how bad it's been.
with Scott Mitchell, our Jays reporter, Jays Yankees Tonight down in Buffalo. So Alejandro Kirk has put his name on the map. He goes 4-for-4 last night, hits a bomb in the seventh opposite field. He's, you know, he's stout. He's a catcher. He bombs around the pads, and he does it in style. You know, he's our kind of guy. We love him. And I know you've been a big fan of his for quite some time, dating back to spring training 1.0. And he was taxi squad. He was just hanging around the team for a while. Then finally they activate him, and they've played him. And he's given them more offense than Jansen or McGuire combined almost. I mean, Reese McGuire brought nothing. And I don't think we're going to see him again, clearly. But it's such a unique position where Jansen's going to play. When Ryu's on the mound, Jansen's going to be behind the plate. I mean, he's going to catch for him. So where does Kirk fit into the next week and into the playoff performance?
Well, that's the interesting part is, you know, that's changing on a daily basis now. And he's in the lineup tonight, back-to-back nights. And yeah, you're right. Danny Jansen is very likely going to be the catcher for Ryu in game one. And that's kind of the trade-off right now. And that's going to be the debate over this next week within, you know, the front office and within the coaching staff is, you know, Danny Jansen brings an element, you know, a little bit more of a veteran element. He's definitely better behind the plate in terms of defensive skills, as well as kind of managing the pitching staff, calling the game, communicating. You know, that's just inherent in a guy who's been around for a few years now. And against when you're talking about a guy who's 21 years old and has a little bit of a language barrier and really doesn't know this pitching staff. But when you look at what Kirk has done with the bat, it is pretty clear he brings a whole lot more juice to the bottom of the lineup. And, you know, that's what the Blue Jays need. And they're a team that kind of needs to go 1-9. You know, they don't have a heart of the order at this point, you know, that's going to completely terrify anyone like they're the Houston Astros or anything like that. So they really need to be good 1-9. And you know, he obviously adds an element of offense that has come in handy from time to time. And this kid hits the ball so damn hard, and he's such a compact guy at the plate that he's really, really tough to pitch to. And, you know, internally they've been raving about him for, you know, almost 2 years now. And on my top 50 prospects lists every January, he went from 43 last year all the way up into the top 10 this year. And, you know, I don't think it's a real surprise as to what he's doing. You know, it is in a number of ways, you know, based on what level he was at last year and based on his age. But I talked to people back in February that really thought he would go to AA, crush the ball for 2 months, and we'd be talking about it in May, June, July anyways, even if it was a normal season. So, you know, he's added a real element, and he gives them a little bit of a dilemma because you're losing something defensively, but you're clearly adding something offensively. So it's going to be interesting in that sense. But then there's also the fact that, you know, this kid is turning into their best DH option. And Rowdy Tellez, no one's sure if he's going to make it back from that knee injury in time to kind of play a role. But when you look at what his bat can bring, you know, he might be the best DH on the roster, which also opens up another conversation because it's really tricky to have your backup catcher as a DH, because if you have an injury and you have to move him out of the DH spot, you lose your DH for the rest of the game. So you kind of have to have a third catcher on the roster to be able to do that on a regular basis, especially in a playoff scenario. So that's going to cause a little bit of a debate internally about what you do with that roster. 28 guys, yeah, you can probably easily put Caleb Joseph on just to kind of cover your bases. So it'll be interesting over the next week. That debate's going to happen, and we'll see what they do. And you're right, Tuesday night, it's probably Danny Jansen behind the plate. But I think the question right now is, do they put that third catcher on the roster and use this guy in pinch-hitting situations and as the strict DH, which he looks fully capable of doing at this point?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, no, exactly. And DHing is clearly not ideal, like you just pointed out. But maybe, you know, late in the game, pinch hit, eighth, ninth inning, you need a big one. You know, it's just another option that, quite frankly, they have not had. And with Tellez out, we don't know when he's going to come back. I don't know who else would fit that role, you know, sitting in the dugout, game in, game out. So it's big. You know, it's been a big debut for him, and we'll see where it goes tonight. I mean, Gerrit Cole versus Tanner Roark on paper, that doesn't look so good.
No.
But, you know, crazier things have happened. That was a redemption night for them last night, the Jays, and full credit to them, and we're only a week away from the real stuff. So we'll see where it takes us. Great stuff as always. Thank you, Scotty.
All right, fellas, enjoy the game. Take care.
Yep, Scott Mitchell, our Jays reporter. You can find his stuff up on tsn.ca. Yeah, we should. Go ahead. Go ahead, Noodles.
So I was just going to say, I like all the different, I guess, choice of wording for Kirk. Like, he said compact.
He's compact.
Very compact.
That's actually perfect.
It is a great comment. Like, yeah. He's a compact, you know, strong and compact. Like, we could say he's just a great grinder.
Yeah, he's a great grinder. That's what he is. He's got a low center of gravity. And as Scotty said, he swings, man. Like, he hits the ball.
43-27 jeans.
Yes, that's what it is.
That's 43-27 jeans.
Yeah, it can't be 30. 30's too tall. 30's 5'9".
I said 43 waist, 27 inseam.
That's basically just a circle.
Yeah, it's I love it.
Pants are circular.
Yes.
He is a beautician, and he's put himself on the map. And, you know, Danny Jansen, he's going to catch Ryu. He's been doing it all year. That's not going to change. Ryu would make that call. He'd be like, I want Jansen. He's my comfort zone. You got to play him for that. It's going to happen. But where Kirk comes in everywhere else. And listen, Kirk is still a kid. I mean, there's a chance he catches a cooler starting tonight. And a week from now, we're like, I don't even know if he can get in the lineup. But his bat has been so hot. He has been looking so comfortable. And this is not, as Scotty pointed out, just a flash in the pan out of nowhere. Who was this guy? They've been talking about him for a while.
Danny Jansen, Bri, will be locking into that routine, wouldn't you think? Like, as far as just job security, he'd be like, I love the fact that Ryu loves me.
Yep. It's almost security, right? It's insurance.
Yeah, like, who was the guy that was pitching for the knuckleballer for the Jays?
There was Tolley for a while.
Yeah, somebody always caught
Dickey.
Dickey. Same catcher every time.
Yeah, Tolley was the guy, I think, for a while, where it was just he was with the Mets, and then he came up here, and you're out there every fifth day. You know, go hit below the Mendoza line. You're useless, but somehow you can catch a knuckleball, and you're comfortable. And more importantly, R.A. Dickey wants you behind the plate.
Mm-hmm.
So you go out there and do your thing. Hit into double plays, strike out, you know, but just make sure you make R.A. Dickey feel comfortable and it's all good.
Remember R.A. Dickey was like he almost seemed like he was like a Matthew McConaughey. He always had, didn't he seem like he had like all these like sayings and like kind of a bit of a space cadet?
Like the Lincoln commercials, you mean?
Yeah. Like I just think that he's, wasn't R.A. Dickey like a real cerebral guy?
Yeah, he was a different cat, like for sure. The way he spoke and some of the language and the vernacular.
Exactly.
And, you know, he would talk about his knuckleball being capricious in nature. It's like, okay, you can tell the scrums are like,
I just gotta grind it out.
Yeah, that was your saying, oh.
That's all he ever said. I just gotta grind it out.
Yeah, gave up a bunch of innings, got pulled.
But I gotta grind. I liked it. It was floating in there. I gotta grind it out.
He'd always complain about the roof too. Remember that?
No, he didn't like the temperature of the roof. He wanted it closed all the time.
He always wanted it closed. So he needed a controlled setting. Like, get real, dude. Like, there's only so many domed stadiums in the whole league. You're used to pitching outside. He came from New York. Like, you want a Cy Young outdoors in New York. But now, all of a sudden, this has got to be closed, so everyone's miserable in here for your knuckleball. Get real. No chance. All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I wish I could listen to TSN Edge, which begins at 7 o'clock tonight.
I am super jacked for AK. He just begged, and he's finally got his own show.
Yep, Aaron Korolnik will be hosting TSN Edge, Gambling Fantasy. And Little Birdie told me that the Grappler will be a regular on that program.
Really?
And Alejandro's brother.
Brother.
Yes.
Oh.
So Al's brother, the Grappler, all going to be involved in TSN Edge coming up at 7 o'clock.
That is one show I would never be invited on, but if they ever called me, I'm in. I'm in. All three of us would be.
Yeah.
No, not me.
Not
Noodles. We work past 7 o'clock. Like, that's it. Now, obviously, I'm joking. I would be on it in a heartbeat. But
they'll be calling at some point. You can bank on it. And, Tuesdays and Fridays. 7 o'clock live. So Korolnik and Al's brother.
Wow.
Our boy Keith, the Grappler. Everyone's out there giving you advice, man. I'm sure Davis Sanchez will be calling in at some point as well. Mm-hmm. TSN Edge is off and running, and
it's gonna be hot takes left and right.
Absolutely. Gambling
I wonder
fantasy.
If they're gonna call the guy with tremendous information.
No, they'll be supplying the tremendous information. Yes. And I'll do my best to do the same with ProLine Best Bets coming up. And we'll tee up the games tonight. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, time now for our Best Bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the MLB board tonight, I like the Cubs on the road. I like Tampa tonight. And I like the over in the Red Sox-Oriole game. Throw down 20, you can score 81. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. ProLine is the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Before you wager, get the latest odds, event info, and matchup stats on your phone. ProLine, put your knowledge on the line. So you got Jays Yankees going. You've got a bunch of ball games. You've got Game 3 Western Final. LeBron and the Lakers looking to close that out, basically, if you win tonight. And hopefully Jamal Murray and Jokic, you know, show up and the Nuggets make it a series. Now, that's what I'd love to see, but it's got to happen tonight. It's a must win.
Yeah. And, I'd like to see it. I'd like to see a series of it.
I wonder what they have left in the tank, though, man.
Yeah.
They were down 3-1 in consecutive series and came back to win them. They're probably on empty.
Yeah. And you've got LeBron and Anthony Davis waiting for you tonight, and they haven't been playing a lot of basketball because they've been off and they've been cruising and they're healthy. Yeah, I like the Lakers tonight. I think the Lakers are – they escaped a couple nights ago. You know, Denver let them get off the hook, quite frankly, and credit to Anthony Davis and got the shot off and he hit it. They won the game, but that felt like almost a must-have with that scenario, right? You got a lead with 2 seconds on an inbound. You got to close that out, and it just didn't happen.
Do you like the 9 p.m. start? I think it's a bit rich, for me.
That's always been prime time. I guess depends on your definition of prime time, you know.
Yeah, I guess. You know, I have no problem. I'm a night
7:30.
I would much rather see these games 8 o'clock latest. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously we're being selfish now because you're looking at the West Coast, and that's what the league is doing. 9 o'clock is prime time out here. Mm-hmm. It's still 6 o'clock in L.A. and they should be afforded, if they are working and stuff, to get an opportunity to watch their team. But you know, I always felt like 9 is it's a late start.
It's pushing it. Yeah, I agree. I think 8 o'clock is prime time for me. 8 o'clock is perfect. That's what every big game should be. Monday night football, Thursday night. The cup finals are always 8 o'clock games, generally. And I think that's the way it should be, you know. But I'm sure there are metrics. You know, they've all looked into it. And I guess the NBA has always done that, 9 o'clock. And that means you're banking on people watching, the most people watching at 11 p.m. Eastern time. Because that's generally the final few minutes of the fourth quarter. And if it's a close game and it's a must-see, I guess you're building people up and you're getting people throughout the country. And, you know, if they didn't feel like they were getting the optimal amount of people watching at that time, they'd change it.
Yeah, they would adjust.
So, you know, they're committed to 9. They always have. But, I'm more of an 8 o'clock guy, but can't win them all, Noodles.
Nope, but take what we can get. Believe me, we're sitting here arguing.
We had quite the comeback, I think. We butchered the first segment. But I think we were great the rest of the show. We're going to be great tomorrow. We're back tomorrow at
4 p.m.
Come on.
We'll chat then.
Come on.
I love it. I love it.
At Scarborough Nissan, the health and safety of the community and their employees is a top priority. With extra safety measures in place, Scarborough Nissan welcomes you to experience the Rediscover the Road sales event on now, where you can finance a 2020 Nissan Rogue for 0% APR for 84 months or receive an up to $5,000 cash purchase bonus on other select models. Scarborough Nissan, driving satisfaction on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden Avenue. Visit ScarboroughNissan.com.
You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. Finance a 2020 Rogue for 0% APR for 84 months or get a cash purchase bonus on other select models. Scarborough Nissan, Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.